Marvelous Mind Radio. Hey everybody, this is your girl Brie, aka Brianna Clearly, aka Be Clear, aka Queen B. And this is Marvelous Mime Radio. And I have a special guest for this show. And his name is Brandon, the International Silk Frazier. How does that sound? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I like it. And you're just being honest.
Yeah, you know, a little honesty. AKA get your passport stamp game up.
Yes. Man, I'm over here blushing like I ain't never heard that in my life. It feel good.
I employed you. I don't know if that's the right word. But I employed you to talk about a specific topic, which is the death of the love song. And I had you in mind specifically because of your knowledge when it comes to music and the plethora of music that you know across genres. But of course, with R&B, hip-hop, soul, things of that nature. So I felt like you would be a great fit for this topic.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So let me just go ahead and get started. I got a serious beef with today's R&B, soul, or lack thereof music. And don't get me wrong, I think I've made it very clear in the past that I live and die by DJ Mustard. And you know what I'm saying? Dabble a little Mike Will Made It into my cup. And, yeah, listen, I get down with the hood tracks. I get down with the ratchet tracks. I get down with the turn up. However, there's a big void missing in my soul for music that talks about love. And I mean love in the sense of I can't live without you. Like, I will die if you're not in my life, love. I like music like that. And there is no music like that anymore. I mean, the closest thing that we have to a love song these days is Drunk in Love. And talk about sipping watermelon. And, you know, listen, everybody knows I am about King B. Everybody knows this. However, when can we get back to, you know, I love you, okay?
I'll say this. I have a different perspective on it. Oh. Like, I felt one way before the conversation started, and then as you were going through your perspective, it shifted. Wow, this is going to be crazy.
Oh, Lord. You're going to make me cuss you out.
The love song. No, it's not crazy, but it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a far-fetched theory, but somewhat of it is, but the love song, it still exists, those artists still exist, it's just that our culture, or society, if you will, doesn't embrace that, so it isn't on the forefront anymore, because
I agree with that.
Now, the media doesn't dictate, we dictate, so we're the gatekeepers now, so it isn't on the forefront. You have, like, you can throw a rock and hit 58 blogs and everything's gonna be this or either that. So it's still out there. Look at artists like, he's not on the forefront, but you know, you're familiar with Jesse Boykins, artists of his caliber, and you have other artists that write from a very romantic standpoint, right? Yeah. But they're just not on the forefront based off of, you know, the hottest books of media, right? And it is a problem. And at the same time, you have a lot of artists, the pre-established artists from that early 2000s or 90s era of music that conformed, who were like really dope artists, and it's like, yo, now you all hear him singing over like these trap beats, or you know, collabing with like artist you would never see that, you know, have foreseen that to be. And it's crazy. Then you have some people that's just like, yo, I'm either just gonna not do music or I'm gonna do my thing. Like the Badus of the world. She's just like, yo, she evolves as an artist, but she doesn't do anything outside of something that's super creative for her, right? Even as weird as she is in her own respect, like no disrespect, but just like in her own aura, she's not like, you're not gonna see Badu and, I don't know, Migos on the track, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You wouldn't see that from her, but she's doing her own thing, and a lot of artists are just conforming just to stay hot for now, right? Just so they can be relevant in the turn up age. It's, I think, and a lot of that comes from maybe they probably don't even want to do that, but it could be pressure from the label, so they won't get their project shelved, so they can have a single out for the spring or for first quarter, so they can get that budget open up. So let me do this track with Mustard, right? And you know, I can get these spins, and maybe they won't shelf my next album. So I get the dynamic. Do I like it? No.
Right.
We need those love records, man. We need that. At least a healthy balance of it.
So I have two responses to what you're saying. Number one, I think what we need to recognize is that the radio business is politics at this point. So people are requesting what they're already hearing. They're not putting out, you know, the new hot, what do they do? The love it or leave it or hot or not. They're not putting, you know, soul R&B records into the fold to say, hey, hot or not.
Right.
They're putting, you know, these trap records, these turn up, turn down, whatever records, these ratchet records.
Absolutely.
Those are the ones that are being judged. So... Right. From the gate, there's no content, there's no diversity of content even being presented for someone to call in and request and say, ooh, I want to hear that song about getting married.
Right.
Or that song about how beautiful our family is, or whatever the case may be. I'm just throwing random content out there.
It's not even
being presented. The tracks and the records that are being presented are all along the same line, which brings me to my second point, which is content. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, production is a big deal, right? Production is a big deal. And production is kind of what draws you in. Then a close second after that is the hook. And then once you get over that hump, because that's what kind of sells the record, right? It's about the content, correct?
Correct.
So my whole thing is that the content overall is garbage. And not even that it's garbage. I'm not even gonna say that it's garbage, even though a lot of it is garbage. It's that there's no diversity in the content. You know what I'm saying? All these songs are talking about strippers, thotties, drugs and alcohol.
Yep.
Shooting. I sound so old right now, but this is real. My whole thing about it is this. It's not about that stuff shouldn't be on the radio. It's about where's the other side? Where's the balance? There's no balance right now. I mean, we're all linked to one side, and it's not the best side to be leaned to. If I had to pick a generation of people who respected or did not respect the woman or a faithful relationship, love, marriage, having a healthy family, or the other extreme, which is, you know, helpless romantics, chivalry, gentlemen, ladies, respectability, I'm gonna tip to the other side. That's just me. If we have to have an imbalance, but you know, I think it's a conspiracy against black people, but you know, maybe I'm going too deep.
Well, I'll say this, just to slightly play devil's advocate, the the radio stations, and specifically traditional format, you know, the FM stations, they're hostages too.
Yeah,
in this situation,
I agree.
They're definitely hostages, because now, since we'll say it's kind of like that whole Matrix microcosm where, you know, you thought things were one way and it's like, nah, that's just smoke and mirrors, this is what's really going on. But in the sense of things, since XM took off and then social media took off and blogs took off, the stations really don't have power anymore. So really all they're fighting for is ratings. So they have to play when somebody calls and requests the Migos or the Future record or this remix featuring Yo Gotti or this other trap artist, because that's what everybody's calling for. And so they play what the people are requesting. We'll keep our ratings. And it's crazy that they're powerless, right? You know, because they, you know, you got to have commercials to pay the bills, and then you got to play with the people asking for, quote unquote, you know, right, by the masses, just to stay relevant, to compete with the crosstown rival or on a national scale. So I get that. But on the flip side, we've been given a certain power to dictate certain things. You look at certain tours or the Our Heart Music Fest that's usually driven by whatever surveys they use to pull these artists to, you know, fill the liners. So I get that. So it's kind of a balance. It's kind of, sort of. The power's kind of in the hands now when you have so many options. Like, you know what? I'm not messing with so-and-so FM. I'm not rocking with them. I'm going to just build my own stations on Spotify or Pandora. Or I'm going to just specifically look for what I want to hear on SoundCloud or whatever. So we have more power per se. But if you just look at the grander scheme of things, the cover of Billboard magazine vibe and so on and so forth, it's like, yo, where is the balance? Right, as big as of a supporter of that romantic, that Renaissance vibe of music, I don't think we'll see artists like a Jesse Boykins get the cover of like Vibe or anything like that. Maybe, I don't know, but they trying to sell issues too. It's like, yo, we can put this dope artist, this Jesse Boykins, third in the cover, but we ain't gonna sell no units, no copies. The masses don't know who he is. His niche. It's niche market or fan base. They know, but that's not going to get them off the shelves. So I get it, but it's crazy. I'm kind of in the same place with you.
Okay. And I don't want this to come off as an insult to people as a mass, but people want whatever you give them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. They don't know what they want, you give it to them.
Exactly. That's my point. People don't know what they want until they give it to them. If you force feed someone enough of the same thing, they're going to accept it. Not only are they going to accept it, they're going to love it. Hence, all these DJ Mustard records on the radio. Last year was Mike Will Made It. You know, all these type of records. And I'm not just talking about the beats, because I love the beats.
Right.
But I'm also talking about the content. So that's when we start talking about, you know, your Yo Gotti's, your French Montana's, your Migos, your Young Thugs.
Right, right.
You know, these type of artists, your YG's. And listen, I got love for all of them. Don't get it twisted. I have love for all of them. But I remember a time where you could hear a song from Biggie or Pac, and then right after that, you'll hear Carl Thomas, Summer Rain.
Yeah.
Word. You see what I'm saying?
Or absolutely.
You would hear, you know what I mean? You would
absolutely
hear a Mobb Deep record, and then right after that, you'll hear Mary J. Blige.
Yes.
Or you'll hear a Nas record, and then right after that, you'll hear, I don't know, an Aaliyah song.
Right.
So there was a balance there. There was, yep, a time when mainstream urban radio would play Erykah Badu. There was a time when mainstream, ooh, urban radio would play Jill Scott, D'Angelo, Music Soulchild. So you have to look at it and say, okay, now what's really happening here?
They're no longer the gatekeepers, because back then when they were doing that,
the radio game is corrupted.
Yeah, they were the gatekeepers then. They could drop that Aaliyah record right after a Biggie record because it was like, yo, I'm about to drop this new exclusive. Come back after the commercial break. I'm going to hit you with this new Aaliyah. And there was no blog you could go hear it first from. You had to tune in. So they had your attention. Like, you know what I mean? And now it's the whole, like, prism has shifted. And it's, now we're beating the PDs. We're beating A&Rs to the point. So we're getting the records before the A&Rs and PDs and stations and music directors even get it. Now they're playing catch up to us, right?
Right.
So that was the shift. I remember those days of just sitting by the radio. They say, yo, we got 5 new bangers coming up from, you know, 112, this person, that
right.
person. Yo, I'm going to get back with y'all. I'm about to listen to
A-Marie. Y'all don't, you know what some I mean? Of y'all don't For even real. Know who A-Marie is. But I mean, Absolutely. There was a time when it was artists like that. Like, if you had a hot record, you had a hot record.
Absolutely.
Whether that be R&B, whether it be hip hop, whether it be a fusion, whether you talking about killing and dealing, or you talking about making love, or yeah. or you're talking about meeting that crush that you've had and finally getting up the courage to say something to him, there was a balance.
It was.
Now, I really am concerned for the youth. Because if all you're listening to is thotty this and
yep.
strippers that and we don't love these hoes and like how are you and then who's raising you? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean
right.
in the process of this music being at the forefront, there's also still a very large break in the family structure.
Right. And that's yo.
Parents Ooh. Can't really raise their kids.
They still turn it up. That's why.
And the right. The parents are still the parents are out there talking about turn. Like
right.
first
Think
of all.
Think about the average kid that's like 17, 18, his mom's is probably what, 35?
No.
You know what I mean?
You
so
tried
she's
it.
Still
But
she's
even
still a
even
happy
so, up. She's probably in her 40s.
Maybe.
If he's 18, she's probably in her early 40s. Talk
right.
about turn that. Hashtagging.
Hard.
Like, girl, stop. If you don't
she's still going to, she
ass
she out here
down.
Going to All-Star Weekend. She at the Mayweather fights. You know what I mean? So I get that. Like, look at when we was coming up, right? I'm you know, I'm an old head for the most, in terms of musically.
Yeah,
like, you had records.
And over.
You had pop, they had records. Like, you wonder why they call you, And, like, Dog Pound dropped a lot of like raunchy records.
Right.
Dropped, like,
but there was
the
something to counteract
right.
it.
Plus, I had OGs around me, older heads. I looked up to uncles, older cousins that
right.
gave me, like, yo, you need to check out Shy. You need to get up
Come
on Gage Town.
Come
you know
on,
what I mean?
Shy.
So my
Come
balance.
On, Town.
My balance.
That's what
was,
I'm saying. Even in those times, listen, ratchet and raunchy and gangsta and thugged
yeah.
out have been around for
it's
a
been
very
around.
Long time.
Absolutely.
But it did not rule absolutely everything.
Thank
and that's
you.
The thing. Like, as quickly as you can listen to a Snoop record, you can flip it and listen to a Boyz II Men record. Just as much as you would know the lyrics to a Snoop record, you would know the lyrics to a Boyz. Come on, End of the Road. Like, are
what
you
talking about? What? For real.
Like,
I'm
it was like that
it.
Back in the day. You know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? Like, you will hear Dr. Dre and all them, but then
yep.
you will hear Brandy.
Yep.
I want to be down.
Or Jagged Edge or Jodeci. So, like,
Jodeci.
Like you said, the balance was there. We, like, the era we came up with, come on. NWA,
we had
very
great
suggestive.
Jay-Z. I mean, Jay-Z was, you know,
yeah.
hot back in those days, but just as quickly as you had Jay-Z. And then the whole dynamic of the hip-hop R&B fusion was that these hip-hop artists would soften a little bit to get into this R&B mode.
Yep.
Now it's
Absolutely.
Reversed. Now it's reversed.
Wow.
Now you have
yeah.
all these R&B artists trying to, I guess, I don't know, show they gangsta.
Yeah.
By singing hooks, talking about... I mean, back in the day, that was a very specific lane. It was Nate Dogg.
Yep.
Nate Dogg would do records like that, talking about we don't love these hoes and, you know, pass me a blunt or whatever it was. You know what I'm
it
saying?
It was. Word.
Nowadays, it's like, that's every R&B artist. Trey Songz, August Alsina, Chris Brown. And, you know, Chris Brown and Trey Songz didn't necessarily start like that. I mean, Trey Songz always right. has been like, you know, thug love, but it was softer. It was more appealing to men and women.
Right.
It was appealing to a man because it's like, okay, he's speaking on love and relationships from our standpoint.
Right.
And it's and not it also so speaking, romantic to the point well, where it's like, we don't understand. Like,
right. It was speaking to a more, how can I put this, coin this phrase, a more of an emotionally mature woman, right? When earlier, like, you know, the previous records that Trey was dropping. Now, the women that he's reaching out to on certain records he's been on lately, mm-hmm. they may be mature by age and in their womanhood, but they aren't.
All my know, women eat
emotionally
food.
Mature.
That's what he said on right. the Paranoid remix.
And they're not emotionally mature, so they don't understand on some, you know, I'm going to hit you with this Teddy P rhetoric real quick. I'm going to hit you with something real very whitish. Like, they're not emotionally there yet, so it's a disconnect. So, okay, let me jump on this trap beat and mention this, this, and this, and, you know, try to satisfy both sides.
Right. And you know what? I thought I was really going to have to, like, reach back, like, before our time. But even in our time, even in our generation, the love song was still alive and well. Cool. The ballads yeah. were still alive and well. I mean, we were in the time of when Whitney Houston was at her prime.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we were at a time when Luther Vandross was still giving it to us.
Giving us joints.
Okay, I Definitely. Mean, we were at the time when D'Angelo was, you know, born. He was coming out as an artist, yeah.
giving us
and
joints.
He was getting love. Man. Like, yo, come on, lady.
Never, I hate to say lady? Never, but what? Our era, that '90s era, I'm gonna say early
2000s. You could even say Man. From the '90s to early 2000s.
Yo, the eras that were birthed. And within R&B between late 80s and early 2000s, it's like the greatest thing ever. Like, you had the New Jack Swing era.
Right.
That ushered in Devontae Swing sound, because a lot of people don't know. I know right. you know, but he worked with Teddy Riley on certain records, right? Right. So that ushered him in, as well as Pharrell and his sound when he was producing yep. remixes and whatnot. So you have the New Jack Swing era, then you had Devontae murdered the 90s with all of his production yeah. credits. Of course, then with, you know, then with Jodeci, and then outside of the group. And then after that, you had another wave, and it was just like, yo, look what came out of this. You had 112, Jagged Edge, this group, this, even the one hit wonders had bangers, like right. at least two or three singles. Come on now. What? And the list goes on. Like, even out of that camp that Devontae had before everybody went their separate ways. You had Ginuwine that came out of that camp. Missy came out of that camp.
Yeah, man.
Timbaland, like,
Playa was with them.
Playa was
but
in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Ginuwine, I mean.
Come on, man.
And Ginuwine also kind of spoke to, you know, the man, the urban man, you know, yeah, in those definitely. Jeans. But it was done in man. Such a tasteful way. Like,
absolutely.
Now it's just like, bitch, pull them panties down.
Yeah. The thing is...
and they say it with a few runs, and all of a sudden, oh my God, right. he is so sexy. Right. Like, girl, really?
And you got the artists that want to... they have that sentiment to give it to you on a candlelit vibe, but they're trying to give it to you over the trap beats. Now, this is what some smart artists are doing that I'm seeing the vision. Not saying I dig it, but I get it. They're like, yo, I want to reach this demographic to bring them over to my side. Right. So I'm going to give you this DJ Mustard production as my lead single. Right? So I give you that. You buy the album or you download it from iTunes. You get the single you wanted that you right. on the radio, but the other 11
now
tracks.
Now open you up to other things.
Pow. So it's kind of like the smoke and mirrors. Yeah, you hit me on the Mustard track or the Mike Will joint, but 98% of my album, R&B. I get it. So
yeah,
it's like
I
you got
it.
A
I mean,
remit.
Okay. I'm not going to be too judgmental because I haven't heard the full body of work, but I'm honestly not buying into August Alsina. I'm sorry for those of you that love him so much and he's your new favorite R&B artist. But like after The Dream, because The Dream is like the last person to really do ratchet R&B or hood R&B or raunchy R&B, and it really worked for me. You know what I'm saying? And not to say that I don't, you know, lip sing to August Alsina's song, but I'm not enticed. I'm not enticed to see what else he has. I'm not. Now, if there's something that I absolutely need to hear, but even from the title tracks that I've heard, these track titles talk about kissing on my tattoos, like, no, girl, I'll pass. Like, I'm not even interested.
Absolutely. I get it. Like, the I love it. I would just watch the people around me, how they reacted and, like, the comments and things. I would just hear people saying when I'm out, I'm like, yo, I'm not feeling this record. Like, I'm just...
Yeah, it had to grow on me. It had to grow on me. I like the remix. I think the remix is dope.
Word.
I think the remix is dope. But even the remix is like, when you get down to the content of it, it's very, like, it's a little disrespectful and it's very lewd and, you know what I mean? I'm not an old granny or, you know what I'm saying, a devout Christian Bible thumper or anything like that. But it's just, when I feel like, when I want to hear good music or diverse music, that I have to, one, go out and search for it, because the days of learning about new music via the radio are dead and gone. They're dead and gone. I'm serious. Those days are gone. But not only do I have to go out and search for myself, I have to resort to what I already know, which is stuff that's older. You know, with the exception of a few artists like The Foreign Exchange that I try to keep up with. But a lot of y'all, if I say The Foreign Exchange, people are like, ooh, what? What?
Yeah.
Or Raheem Devon.
Absolutely.
Or, you know what I'm saying? People that are still trying to push forward and keep the essence of R&B alive.
Absolutely. I'm glad you touched on my own devices.
This is my other point. Maybe my last point. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But I feel like it's a very sad day when people feel like Drake makes love songs, like legit love songs. I feel like we're living in a sad day when Hold On, We're Going Home is like a top love song. I looked at a list of top R&B love songs, and that was on it. I didn't even want to look at it anymore.
Was it at least called a modern day love song, or they just like...
I don't know. But I feel like we're so desensitized, and I say this almost every episode, but we're so desensitized and detached from reality as a society, especially like as a youth, and we're still considered youth. We're on our way out of the category, but we're still considered youth.
Wow.
But as a youth, when we feel like because Drake speaks from a different place than his peers,
right,
that he's emo, which maybe he is, but that
that's good though.
He's his song, because he's singing on the whole thing and he's not rapping, it's a love song.
He's genius for the fact of, I'm gonna give you sonically. It's a rap sound sonically, but the context and the content is very emotional.
Central music. It's really a pop song. It's very reminiscent of that 80s synth, blended sound. But that's neither here nor there. But the point is,
I was speaking in terms of just like his more, as people call them, the emo records. The track maybe sonically. Oh yeah, I banged this in the club. But then if you break down and look at the lyrics or the sentiment of direction he was going, it's like, wow, he's really pouring his heart out. Like, listen to what he's saying. But the people, they just want to, like you said, they just want to stand on the sofa in the VIP and get them sparklers to come through. Okay. They just want to turn up. They not even listening to what he's saying. So
I mean, he Okay, if somebody wanted to argue that Hold On, We're Going Home is a love song, maybe I'll give that to them. And I'll give them, you know, Take Care with Rihanna. I'll give them that as a love song, okay?
Right.
But the point is that when you really go back in the history of a love song, of an R&B soul love song,
right?
Listen, that doesn't hit the depths.
I get it.
That are always you, and forever.
What you want those
each
nice chords and progressions.
With you, okay? Like, it's not hitting that.
Yeah, you want chords and progressions and nice pianos and a nice bass line. I get
and
that.
And I want a bridge. Well, I mean, he had a bridge in it. But I'm talking about that emotional vocal breakdown, that sound of desperation in the voice.
In passion.
That passion.
Something that it's really mood-oriented. I got to light these candles.
Right.
I'm cracking this window real quick. I got the Merlot over here on ice. Like, it really paints that whole ambiance for you. Like, now it's like, you're not getting that.
Okay, and you know what? And then I think to myself, I mean, I'm thinking back to the days where you had a CD. Yeah, I'm taking it there. You had a CD. This is back when iTunes was real fresh on the market. You had a CD. You popped that joint into your laptop. You picked about, I don't know, 15, 16 tracks.
Depending on the length of the song.
That Get Ready. You had Prince on there.
You had
at least one Prince cut.
Got to.
This was when you used to speak through music. You can't give me 15, 16 songs from the last year where it will say exactly what you want to say to that person that you're trying to get, that you're already with, or that you're trying to get back.
Mm.
You're not going to find 15 cuts from the past 12 months that's going to say exactly what you want. Not from mainstream.
Nah.
And if somebody can, then I'm just going to slap the hell out of myself and put it on Instagram.
There it is. So you say the person you want, you trying to get, or you trying to get back.
Dang. Give me 10 cuts.
That's deep.
Give me 10 cuts.
That's deep.
That'll speak that desperation, that longing, that loving, that nurturing, that caring, that feeling that you have. I don't think it's possible.
Nobody wants to be emotionally vulnerable, so it doesn't reflect in the music on a grander scale.
Ooh, boy, you just
because
now
it's like, you know.
I don't even think you realize what you just said.
Yeah, nobody want, like, even in the music because of social media, everybody, you emo and you this, you that.
Right.
Like, just because you're being honest, the minions of social media, so, you too emo, and now it doesn't reflect in the music. That emotional vulnerability that you speak of, that passion in those records. Now everybody in the VIP, and they looking at this and that, and this was going on, this what I drove up in, and this who I'm taking home. Like, that's the sound.
Well, you know what? And that's clearly a misconception, because even though Drake is painted as the emo rapper, he's doing numbers.
Speak on it.
So somebody is relating to those records specifically.
Yep.
That's why he can put out an album, I mean a track, a single, where all he's doing is singing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still shoot to the top of the charts.
Because that void. We got so desensitized because of the lack of what they're giving us nutrients-wise,
right,
that he's not a strong vocalist.
The content
is par on with what we can relate
exactly.
to, even though the vocal
even though
side isn't.
People won't admit to that.
Right. Right, he croons, but he's not a pure vocalist to what we're accustomed to. But being that we can relate to the content,
he's mediocre at best.
Right, exactly. But being that we can relate to the content, we give him a pass.
So, and then that becomes the question. So, why can't we get behind artists that is their lane? That's I just don't get it. I have to sometimes turn to the adult urban radio station you know, the same station that my mother would listen to.
Word.
To get, you know, some soulful R&B.
It's crazy, man. Like, the only ones that can do it without conforming, I'll give it to this group. I'll give it to TGT. And I take my hat off to them for not conforming. It's like, no, we're going to give you that baby making, like, balance.
But
real R&B.
They all have an established audience. See, that's exactly. The thing about
that's the
different.
Problem. Right.
So they don't have to be mainstream.
And the beautiful thing about their situation is, I mean, truthfully, based off the project they gave us, those adult contemporary R&B stations are going to support it. But
absolutely.
If they weren't, they all have individual catalogs they can stand on and,
exactly.
and establish fan bases that just off of the strength of social media, they're going to still do numbers touring. But in terms of this new wave of artists giving us that sound,
it's
maybe
dead.
Some of them want to, but they're maybe a lot of them are afraid. Maybe the label heads or the management are saying, yo, you can really blow, but get this Mike Will joint instead, right? Instead of working with like a
Rocky
Dirk.
We want guaranteed
or,
hits. At
right,
the very
we
least,
want that.
If people aren't buying into the album, I mean, somebody said it, I can't remember who I was having a conversation with, but they said, you know, people just want singles now. People put out singles. They don't care about having a full body of work. That is an afterthought. Yeah, so we've been talking for almost 45 minutes about this. Can you believe it?
Nah, it feels like 15-something.
Okay, so... Well, okay, this is what I'll leave it on. Support artists in their diversity. Support artists with the ambition to do their own thing as opposed to do what mainstream has deemed successful. Because at this point, we're on our own.
Yeah.
You have to go out and seek what it is you're looking for because it is out there. I mean, there are artists out there that are making some really dope music. Iman Omari.
Yeah.
What did I just listen to today? BJ, the Chicago Kid.
Woo! Yeah.
Tia London.
Yeah, she doing her thing.
Tia London's dope.
Yo, wow. Had you not said that, I could just run off a list.
I know, right? Y'all gotta go out and seek these artists that are putting out this dope music because it's out there.
Oh, the group, they're called the Internets.
I've never heard of them, but I'm gonna check them out.
Nice. It's a nice project. Like, they actually have several, but the last one was what was the last one? I can't think of the name right off, but the group name is The Internets, and they're dope.
Yeah, so that's what we're saying. Seek and you shall find, but you have to go look for it. Don't just fall for what they're giving you. Go out and get what it is you really want. And with that being said, where can they seek you?
Me? Oh man, I'm everywhere. You wanna find me on Twitter, it's International Silk and it's spelled INTLSILKK. The same thing on Facebook, the same thing on SoundCloud, same thing on Tumblr, INTLSILKK.
You ain't got no gram.
Oh yeah, same thing on the gram too. Same spelling.
You know, you don't follow me on Instagram. You ain't.
Yes, I do. I do.
Anyway, y'all already know, and if you don't, find me on IG, Twitter, Facebook, Brianna, clearly, B-R-I-A-N-A, clearly, and, make sure you guys check out Mr. Brandon, International Silk Frazier, check out his mixes, because you will really come up on some good music. And you know what? You need to start putting track listings to your mixes so people know who these artists are and they can seek. So you guys check out his mixes on SoundCloud. They are dope. Literally one of the best DJs I know. I don't know if other DJs do mixes, but if they do, they need to get their way
up. Correction, before we close out. What they do mixes, what I do, I give people
an experience.
A musical euphoric experience, right?
Musical euphoria.
Yeah, that's what it is. And
if they're
not familiar, they can look that up in a dictionary.
An eargasm. You give them an eargasm.
There it is.
Woo! So, so with that being said, we're out. We love you. Thank you for supporting. If you guys do support, make sure you share. I'm out. Peace.